You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here
we must understand even everything that we see. And Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is the true teacher. And indeed, we need to be taught this morning. And we need to be shown some things this morning. Father God, we need your wisdom. We need your love. Father, we need to see even how we are in our lives. And Father, as lined up with your word, Father, do that for us this morning as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen and amen. Look at verse 13 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. And we read, "And who is he that will harm you?" He says, "If ye be followers of that which is good." And I love that, because he's dovetailing off of verse 12 where he said that the Lord is against those that don't do right by him. And look, as a believer, I don't have really nothing to fear if I'm living right, if I'm doing right. Peter says, "And who is that will harm you if, and that's a big if, ye be followers of that which is good." And guys, we know that only God and his word and his truth is good. We know that Christ is good. And if we follow them, that there's no weapon that can be formed against me that will ever prosper. Is folk coming at me from the back, I don't see. God's got my back. God's got my front. And he's got me on every single side. And will continue to watch over me and bless me as I serve him. He says in verse 14, "But... and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." And listen, he's talking about ordained trouble that comes our way sometimes as a believer. And of course, during biblical time, during the time when Peter was writing this letter, they were going through all kinds of persecution. And he's saying that, look, I don't care what it looks like. Don't get off the boat. Don't get off the ship. Stay in Christ, and he's going to watch over you, and he's going to take care of you. And then he has the audacity to say that happy are ye when we suffer for righteousness' sake. And listen, I don't know about you, but if I'm suffering, I can't see myself actually being happy. But what he's saying is that I've done no wrong. I've not sinned. I've not went contrary to the Lord. But I simply was standing up for Christ's sake. And because of that, somebody came at me. And by the way, it's getting worse and worse here in this country and other countries. Even right now, you stand up for Christ, they take your home, your business, and even your children just for mentioning that you're following Christ. And as I always say, coming to a country near you, continue to serve him, continue to stand up for him. And anytime there's a situation where it looks like the world is outnumbering you and you have an opportunity to speak the word of truth from God's word in regard to his son Jesus Christ, don't bite your tongue, but allow them to hear the truth that God has laid on your heart. Guys, I'd like us to put up our bulletins there, and I want us to go to the book of Acts, chapter 5. And that should be, if you're using a Pew Bible, page 946, Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. And I just want us to look at a few verses of scripture in regard to the early church and some of the things that they were going through. And listen, it wasn't because they were doing wrong. They were doing all right. In fact, they were doing what God required of them. And still, they were having problems. They were having troubles. We know here at verse 12 that throughout this chapter, or in fact, throughout this book, the church came, the Spirit came, and they were having trouble ever since he indwelt them. And we know the apostles have been preaching Christ, teaching Christ. They have been healing folk through Christ. And of course, the opposition, those of the world, did not like it, not one little bit. Chapter 5. Verse 12, of the book of Acts. If you're with me, say amen. And the verse says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all, it said, they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And one of the signs of the early church is that they were always on one accord. And not too much further before this, there were some that weren't on one accord, and God took their life, took them out of here, talking about Ananias and Sapphira. But I'm not going back that far. Just a friendly reminder. They were all on one accord. And by the way, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. It wasn't any Tom, Dick, or Harry that were doing these miracles. It was those that God called and chose to be leaders and to come forth with miraculous gifts. In verse 13, he says, and of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And you look at that verse, and it might be a little bit hard to understand, but the world, or those of the world, they were looking and they were saying, man, that's how they're doing this. That is great. Man, look what they're doing. They're doing a good work. But their concern, or many of their concerns, was we don't want to get kicked out of the church, out of the synagogue. So we see that they're going through trouble. They're persecuting them. We don't want no parts of that. So we're not going to link up with them, but we think it's a good work that they're doing. They're looky-loos. They're on the backside looking in. And look, there are some, even some folk that are calling them Christians that don't want to really be involved. But man, if you're in Christ, you can't help to be involved because God has called us to be that way. He goes on in verse 14. If you're with me, say amen. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. It said multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch it said that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that it says at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And the thought was, the belief was, man, so many miracles were being done by the apostles, including Peter, that they thought if he just walks by and his shadow hits us, we'll be healed. Now, there's no instance I've seen in the Bible where it happened, but they believed it happened. And that's the kind of work that the Lord was doing in regard to look, they didn't have Facebook or internet, but man, the fact that the Lord was doing something, it was spreading like wildfire. In verse 16, it says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. And the thought here is that they were bringing the folk to the apostles, they were healing them as the Lord would give them power to do, and even some that were vexed with spirits, that were indwelt with spirits, they were casting them out, not in their own power, but in the power of the Lord. And by the way, they were healed, and the spirits were cast out. And this healing, they're talking about not just a physical healing, but also a spiritual healing. As when the demons were cast out, then the Spirit of the Lord took over and entered them. So they actually got saved. That's the true healing. It's one thing to get physically healed, and then you go on your way and keep on sinning and end up in hell. That's not really a true healing. It says in verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled, look what it says, with indignation. In other words, they're making us look bad. They're actually doing miracles. They're actually doing something that we can't do. And of course, they're going to get upset, just like they did with their Lord when he was on earth before them. Verse 18 says, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. In other words, they locked them up, put them in public jail. Again, they had not done anything wrong. In verse 19, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And listen, he's talking about the life of being a Christian, this new life in Christ. And listen, that is kind of comical. Here they're in prison. The spirit, the angel comes and releases them, and he don't tell them to run for the hills. He says, go back into the temple and start preaching Jesus Christ. The same thing that got you locked up the first time, I want you to go back and start preaching it all over again. He says in verse 21, and when they heard that, they, in other words, they were going to be obedient, entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now they're sending guards to the prison to bring them before them so they can adjudicate whatever their case going to be. They're not there, and we're going to see that, but they're in the temple, and they're preaching Jesus Christ, being obedient to God. Verse 22 says, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety. In other words, everything was locked up, and the keepers standing without before the doors. In other words, the guards were still there. It says, but when we opened, we found no man within. In other words, they were supernaturally released. And look, when God releases you, when he sets you free, he can do it spiritually as well as physically as he sees fit. He goes on. And by the way, man always struggles with being set free by the Lord. Just like these guys are struggling, they're shaking their, scratching their head, not sure what's going on. I remember when the Lord delivered me from alcohol, a lot of folk would ask me, well, what program did you go through? Did you go through the 12-step program? Did you go to AA? Did you go to NA? How did you get delivered? And I said, well, the Lord delivered me. And they look at me scratching my head. No, I was set free. And by the way, you were in bondage to something, and the Lord set you free as well. And I love it. Sometimes he uses AA. Sometimes he uses NA. But many times he will simply have a one-step program. He'll save you, and he'll relieve you of whatever you're going through in regard to the bondages of this world. And I love him for that. Insult to injury. Look at verse 25. In fact, look at verse 24. It says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. In other words, they're trying to figure out, man, what's going to happen from all this and this miraculous stuff. And insult to injury, verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. And listen, they were locked up. I know they were there in surety. The guards were still there, but they're not there. In fact, they're doing what you told them not to do, what they were arrested for. Verse 26 says, then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. In other words, they didn't want to drag them out, so they reasoned with them, and they brought them forward. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, he says, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. And indeed they have, and it wasn't theirs. They adopted it, but it was God's doctrine. And intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And by the way, it is upon you, which is why you're worried about what they're saying. Verse 29 says, then Peter and the other apostles, I love this, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And guys, there's nothing else left to say for the believer. That if I'm doing right by the Lord, and you say that I'm not doing right, then I've got to obey what God tells me to do. Then if a law comes up that's going to want me to believe a lie when I know it's a lie and say I believe it, man, if God says contrary in his word, I have to stand on God's word. Have to. And look, I have natural family members that don't know the Lord, and they want me to believe a lie. They want me to believe that it's okay for them to sin here or sin there. And listen, by the way, Mr. Ralph, they have passed a law saying that is now legal. We can do this. I don't much care what the law says. God's law says it's sin. I'm going to call it that. And by the way, you got to call it that as well if you're worth your salt in Christ Jesus. And look, we got some dear friends, dear families, or at least they were dear friends, and our family, that you need to simply tell them the truth. And this is the kicker. You really don't have to argue the truth. You simply present the truth, and the truth is going to stand on its own. Years ago, somebody told me the truth about my heart and about where I was, and that I was far from God. And listen, I didn't believe that. I was unsaved. I don't want to hear that. But they told me that, and they let it stand where it did. And man, that thing bothered me. Man, I would wake up in the middle of the night talking about, well, man, am I really going to go to hell? Do you mean I got to go through all that? I want to live my life the way I want to live it. You didn't mean to tell me I got to believe on somebody and I got to go to him for everything? I said, no, I'm my own man. I'm going to do what I want to do. And listen, for a long time, I did what I wanted to do, just like my father before me. But I got to tell you, when the pricks of your heart are coming and coming fast and showing you that what God is saying is true, you got to bow the knee to Jesus. At least I did. And even though Satan said, I got your father, and now I'm going to get you, my father said, not so fast. This Ralph Williams belongs to me. Back off. And he saved my soul. And by the way, saved your soul as well. He says in verse 28, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and turned and tried and intend to bring this man's blood upon me, or upon us. And then Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men, and the God of our fathers. And listen, he's going on and teaching them a little bit, and it's almost as if he's saying, oh, by the way, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And listen, the boldness of the Holy Spirit, before they would be hiding, but now they're bold. It says, whom ye slew and hung on a tree. We're not backing away from that. It says, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And by the way, these guys are accusing them and presenting their case. And what the apostles are doing are witnessing to the very ones that want to see them dead. And what that says to me is that they're going to be held accountable for the truth that's being shined in their proximity right now or back then. Verse 32 says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. And again, obedience is key. When they had heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to slay them. And by the way, every time these guys are up against the truth and what they want to do, they can't say, well, put them in prison for a couple of months. They can't say, well, beat them and let them go. They always want to kill them, just like they wanted to kill Christ. And by the way, the world, if they could, they would kill you as well if you stand on the principles of God in regard to Jesus Christ. Verse 34 said, then stood there up one in the council, it says the council of Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation, it says, among all the people, and commanded them to put their apostles forth a little space. In other words, guys, let's talk about this for a bit. Obviously, the Lord gave him some real wisdom, and he goes on in verse 35, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do is touching these men. And Gamaliel said, we need to be smart about this. It says, for before these days rose Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all men, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. And listen, he's talking about this man. It looked like he had an uprising. Looked like there was a movement happening. But guys, I got to tell you, just like then and even now, if it's a movement of man, it's going to fail every time. He goes on, verse 37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Again, a work of man, a club, or whatever you want to call it, but it was not of God and surely could not stand the test of time. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if, here we go, this counsel of this work be of men, it will come to naught. In other words, it's going to die on its own. You're not even going to have to worry about it. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply, he says, ye be found even to fight against God. And I got to tell you, man, even with these guys and their unsavedness, did not want to hear that, and surely did not want to do that. And to let him, and to him, it said they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And by the way, they didn't go run and hide. They thought that it was a good thing, that they'd done no wrong, but they actually stood on God's principles and stood up as believers, and they were whipped because of it, and they counted that as a good thing. And verse 42 says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. In other words, they didn't have any other choice. And if all you want to do is whip me, then whip me again, because I'm going out and I'm going to preach about my Lord. Guys, flip back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 14. And we read here, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, separate him in your heart from everything else. Nothing else should be above him. And be ready, it says, always to give an answer to every man that asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And what he's saying is that, man, as you're standing for Christ and folk are looking at you, maybe mocking you, maybe cussing you, and then somebody might look back and come to you and say, man, how do you put up with all that? It doesn't bother you? How do you stand all that? And where do you get that hope? And you can stand and tell them about Jesus Christ the righteous. And that you can take that and you can stand on that only because of him. In of myself, I'm weak. And I am, man, and we all are. And many times men will try to boast and say that we strong here or strong there. And in reality, man, we really are weak. But man, with Christ, we're strong. And look, I have convictions in regard to some of the things I used to think about, but now I got a true conviction about my love and my salvation and my, hallelujah, life in Christ can only come through him. And I am convinced that if I keel over right now, that I'll be with him before I hit this floor. And that's my hope. And that's the hope I want to pass on to somebody else. Because I know without that hope, they will be hopeless. And whereas I'm going to heaven, and I'm assured of that, if they don't know Christ, then they are going to hell. And I'm assured of that as well. He says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason of the hope that is within you. It says, with meekness and fear. In other words, I'm getting low, but I'm reverencing the one who sits high, and that's my Lord. Having a good conscience, that where is it said they speak evil of you. And we just saw that over in Acts. And guys, we see it in our time as well. As evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. He says, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And listen, we know what happened with Christ. Verse 18 says, for Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just, and that's Christ, for the unjust. And by the way, that's you. He said that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, a word that means to be made alive, by the Spirit. And by the way, guys, we are dead in of ourselves, but we are alive forevermore in Christ Jesus. And there are folk that will look at me and ask me, and you as well, about what do you think about the election, or what do you think about this bill, or what do you think about that, man? If it's contrary to the law, or to the Lord, then it's contrary to me as well, because I stand for Jesus Christ. And there's no way I could put somebody in office that wants to go and pass laws that's going to be contrary to Jesus Christ and his truth and his word. He goes on, verse 19, by which, in fact, I'm going to read verse 18, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by the which it says he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And guys, what we know is that he's talking about Christ. We know he died on the cross. We know that they pulled him down and that they buried him. And we know also that he rose on the third day. But while he was away, while he was in the ground, he went and took care of some spiritual business. We know that just before the flood, just before Noah built that ark, that there were some demons that went even more sinful than God would allow. And listen, I'm not going to go there, but we're going to look at some verses in regard to that. That they actually were inhabited men, sinful men, during that time. And these men were cohabitating with women. And there were children being born that were even more ungodly than it was for the time. And God says that you're going to hell now. He locked them up. And those, whoever, however many it was, will never see the light of day. And it says here, by the way, he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And by the way, that he is Christ. And I can only know or think of one sermon that he could give them, is that you are finished, because I am finished and you're doomed. And indeed he did. He goes on in verse 20. It says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark, it says, was a preparing. And by the way, he was building that thing for 120 years, and he was the preacher of righteousness, and his only sermon was, it's going to rain, you need to get right. And folk laughed at him, they made fun of him, and nobody repented until after God closed that ark. And even then, it was much, much too late. And by the way, guys, there are folk even right now, and they figure, well, I don't believe on Christ right now, but.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 3-2-9-1-0. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.